Lachlan's Mulder was right. My name is Curtis. We discuss conspiracy theories and alternative facts. Also here is...
Brendan.
Brendan's here too.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about some stuff this week.
What type of stuff?
We're going to talk about a few types of things. First, how are you?
I'm doing well, Curtis.
I'm doing well as well.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm glad that we are revisiting, you know, you asking me how I'm doing so that our listeners can hear how I'm doing.
I think it's important that our listeners know how we're doing so that they can understand not just what we tell them, but who we are.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I went to the gym today for the first time in a long time. My arms really hurt.
Great.
So that's not good.
Getting swole. Well, that's kind of the point of
I'm
going
trying.
To the gym.
Yeah.
Your arms are supposed to hurt afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. Just your arms, no matter what you do.
Yeah. I got a smoothie afterwards. So theoretically, I'm getting rid of all that work that I just put out.
Gotta eat food to put on bulk.
It's true.
unless you're trying to do the other thing.
Then
you don't want to eat more food.
But anyway, before we get into this week's episode, I just wanted to talk about the survey that we had.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago, we put out a survey. I made it. It's about 9 questions. It's not about 9 questions. It is 9 questions long.
Yeah, you could also, I guess you could technically describe it as about 9.
About 9.
If it is technically 9.
If it is 9, it's still about 9. But anyway, so it's 9 questions long, and we would really appreciate it if you could go fill it out. It takes 5 minutes. Some of the questions are optional, some of them are not, but it's really just trying for us to get a feel on why you listen to the podcast, why you like it, if you like it. You know, if you think that we are terrible people and we really suck, you know, answer the survey.
Everyone's doing the survey. It's really popular, guys. Like, you got to do it. It's the thing to do.
It's the cool thing.
So, like, it's great. Like, it's awesome. I'm real serious. Everyone's doing it.
if we get enough participation in that, we're going to throw up a giveaway as well. So,
and listeners, I heard that person you're attracted to did the survey.
Yes. So, therefore, if you want that person to be attracted to you,
you should also take the survey during the survey and they'll see you, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's an anonymous survey, but they'll know.
They'll know. So, we're going to segue right into this week's topic, the thing we're all here for. Now, Brendan, we live in a dry area of the country, don't we? We live in New Mexico. In the mm-hmm. middle of, you know, you could call it a desert.
Before we get into this, I just want to point out that you can find that survey at tiny.cc/MWR survey.
tiny.cc/MWR survey. The great, yep.
We forgot about that.
We forgot about that part.
You can also find it on our Facebook and Twitter.
So if you want your unrequited love to finally love you, go to that place.
Yes. They've been.
So do you find yourself thirsty a lot around here?
You know, I do quite enjoy smoothies.
Smoothies.
I'm sometimes thirsty.
We're not going to talk about smoothies so much this week.
I have been more thirsty lately. You know, it's pretty dry out here, especially in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. It's pretty dry.
So drinking water is important, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Drinking water and, water's pretty key to our health, right?
I mean, unless you're breatharianism, unless you believe mm-hmm. in that.
Unless you're a breatharian.
Yeah. Unless you're a breatharian, in which you don't believe in consuming anything.
And then except air.
For air.
Well, this conspiracy, similar to how breatharians might say you're breathing wrong, this theory talks about why you might be drinking water wrong or drinking the wrong water.
Drinking the wrong water?
Yeah. Have you heard of raw water?
Is that like the tap water that comes out of the tap?
No, it's not. It's very much the opposite of the tap water that comes out of the tap. So this is a newer developing thing. It just got a lot of popularity. The New York Times posted an article about it just December 29th, right at the end of 2017.
Oh,
just
wow. very soon.
Just about a month ago.
Oh, man, we're on top of things.
Yeah. about a new trend, raw water. Now you might think that's a weird thing to call water, because water is water.
I'm
confused.
And you
can't cook water.
So, I mean, you can boil water, but it's still raw water at that point.
So,
unless you put stuff in it.
We're going to talk about the main raw water company that we're going to talk about. It's called Live Water. It's owned by a man named Mukundi Singh. It's a white guy who I believe adopted that name. I think he had a more traditional white dude name, like Andrew or something. Before
sounds
that.
About right.
Yeah. similar to whatever her name was from the Breatharian episode. I can't remember it, but it was something great.
I don't remember it either.
I wish I had had the foresight to know I was going to talk about this and had actually looked it up.
I don't remember either, but I quite loved that episode.
Yeah. So he's the owner of Live Water. It is a raw water provider that collects fresh spring water. Sourced from Opal Spring in Madras, Oregon. And so they just go up to the spring water coming out of the ground.
Water.
They just put it in some containers and then they're done and they sell it to you.
That's it.
That's what they do.
So can I go and do that?
You could probably, I don't actually know if they like own this spring or if it's just like public land and they just go over there and do it.
Because I feel like if it's public land, I feel like you can't sell the water.
That's an interesting question because
I can't sell stuff from public land. Like I can't like go, well, I guess that's not true. Like for instance, if I go hunting, I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure I can probably like sell a deer that I then kill.
Right. There's a question of, and I don't exactly know this answer, but there is a question of like, it's a resource that we kind of all share.
Yeah. So like,
can you own it? And maybe you can, cause you can kind of say like, hey, I went out and I found some rocks that are pretty and I'm now selling them. You can kind of do that.
I mean, yeah. And at the same time, they might be like, I don't know. Like they could be charging you specifically, almost exclusively only for the containers. And,
right.
You know, then claim that we're just selling the containers. There's just stuff
they
in
happen
it.
To be full of this water.
Happen to be full of this water.
Well, they're pretty explicitly selling this water, and I think legally it's all on the up and up. So, however they're doing it, they're doing it right.
Okay. They have good lawyers, I guess.
I guess, or
enough, good enough lawyers to be able to change your name to whatever that was.
Yeah, Mukundi Singh.
Yeah.
He's a decent looking guy. He looks as much like a sort of like meditative new age fellow as he could possibly.
Is he like an old white guy with
like
white dreads?
No, he's actually a young white guy.
Oh, the young white guy.
Sort of long hair and like physically fit, really skinny. Like picture the most stereotypical like yoga vegan.
Yoga vegan guy.
That's
okay.
Him.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he's vegan because he mostly just talks about water because he's the owner of this water company.
Yeah.
So right at the beginning of their website, it says there are countless springs on the planet. Much of the water from these springs was on the surface thousands of years ago and has not been influenced by industrial age contamination. Some of these springs have been filtered and enriched through hundreds of layers of rocks. We celebrate this ancient life source that humanity flourished from since the beginning of our existence. We trust it's perfect just the way it is.
That's nice.
It's nice. They're trusting the earth and the water that it's just okay to drink. And I mean, you know, for a long time in humanity's history, we just sort of drank water from the ground because that's all the water there was, you know? There wasn't any taps.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So about this water, what makes it so special? Like, you know, okay, it's water from a spring, so what? And their website says that it comes, the spring itself is like a lava tube. I guess it was created by some lava flow. And they literally just call it a lava tube. And they say it's been in constant offering since it was first measured in 1925 at a rate of 108,000 gallons of water per minute.
That's
like
a
pretty
water.
Like, yeah, it's putting out a lot of water.
It's a lot of water.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, lava tube.
Thanks, lava tube. somewhere else I saw, it wasn't explicitly posted on their website, but they say they harvest about, I think, 1,000 gallons a day. So, you know, a small percentage of how much water is coming out of here. And again, I'm not exactly sure on how they're collecting this water. If they're just got a bunch of jugs, they must have some sort of pipes.
The phrase harvest water feels weird.
Yeah, collecting water,
collecting
I guess.
Collecting water.
Sure. A lot of, like, this raw water whole deal has a lot of sort of strange vocabulary. Like, just to begin with, raw water is interesting. We're going to talk about living water. We're going to talk about dead water.
Yeah. What?
Some vocabulary you're not yet familiar with.
I didn't know water could live.
So it goes on. It says it once again, the water is from a time when Earth was pristine, and it is estimated to have matured below the surface for up to 10,000 years before surfacing. So this is aged water.
Aged water.
Just
quite,
like a nice aged
water.
Wine.
Yeah.
It says, imagine its journey as it's flowing through vast networks of crystalline-lined lava tubes to the surface. Major science has concluded that there is a body of water with larger volume than all of our oceans combined in the core of the Earth. This is the Earth's way of cleansing water and offering it back to us with a fresh new start. There is a bunch of water underneath the surface of the Earth, you know, in aquifers and whatnot. And I don't know to what extent that there's literally a bunch of water literally in the core of the Earth. And even they cite a source here, but it was a little bit confusing, so I wasn't sure what they meant. But there is a bunch of water under the Earth, and it does sort of come up in spring. So that's not entirely stupid.
Follow me on this water journey. Imagine the water.
So they go on to say sodium, potassium, magnesium, and calcium are the four primary electrolytes that maintain the body's fluid balance. Live water is abundant in each. There's even trace amounts of lithium and copper. Our naturally alkaline water is ideal for everyday use at a pH of 8.
So it's that's pretty basic.
Pretty in the middle.
Pretty in the middle.
Yeah,
you're right.
Basic
you're right.
Would be the very end of the scale, because that scale has very confusing terminology as acidic and basic. Yeah. But yeah, I think 7's right dead in the
pretty
middle.
Pretty in the middle.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because isn't alkaline more acidic?
Man, you know, you're really testing my ability to Google
search
this term.
I'm pretty sure alkaline is more acidic.
Google literally defines it as having a pH greater than 7.
Okay.
So they meant,
then I'm wrong.
They meant that.
They really meant it.
They did,
meant
they
it
got
very
right.
Literally.
Our probiotic report shows 4 raw water exclusive probiotics that aren't found in any other food source. And we're going to talk about probiotics some more, and bacterias. They also say there's a bunch of silica in their water. They say silica is essentially pure liquid crystals. I'm not sure that is true. Silica holds information and energy in a unique way. That's why all our devices run off of them, hence the name Silicon Valley. Imagine how it would feel to upgrade your brain's entire operating system to the best computer chips available. Silica is also known as the beauty mineral, very, very rarely found in any food or supplements.
So this is from their website.
This is from their website.
So
there's silica in their water, and it will upgrade your brain.
It will upgrade your brain. They are they're advocating for a brain change. They want to turn your brain into a computer.
Yeah, by making
by adding silica.
There
into
is
water.
A logical leap in this paragraph. Yes,
there's a very it's a very large leap there.
Yes. Further benefits of silica: keeps skin hydrated and feeling soft, reduces wrinkles and fine lines, keeps hair lengthy and luxurious. And the owner of this company does have lengthy and luxurious hair.
Well, that's always good.
Builds strong, healthy nails and increases joint strength and flexibility. They're talking about now how they transport their water. We transport our water in triple washed, lead-free 2.5 gallon glass jugs. They really like putting water in glass. They see glass as sort of the like best kind of container that's not going to contaminate the water in any way.
And it's triple washed.
It's triple washed. That's, yes.
Now, question.
Mm-hmm.
You know when like you like you're feeling too safe, and so like so like you know when like you're gonna have a you're gonna go have a good time, mm-hmm. and you know you're about to have sex, and and you throw on a condom, you know, because right. safety first,
right?
And then your partner says throw on a second one, and
of
that
course.
and that always leads to something going bad. They recommend only putting on one because putting on two might.
I don't know why you would put
break
on two
the integrity,
condoms. Right?
Of them both.
Yeah, right. Because there's the friction between the two condoms can then
exactly
build up and
exactly,
then
and you have you know
them. Yeah,
you know that's trying to be double safe, but in actuality, you know you're not.
You're just sort of ruining it. Yeah,
exactly. Does triple washing do the same thing?
You know, I'm not sure that same logic applies.
I don't think it does.
I think...
And what do they wash it with? Water?
I this is...
Do they wash it with the same water?
They don't say. And that is actually a question I have. How are they washing this? I assume they must wash it. They must think about this. They probably wash it with the same water.
The same water.
Yeah. And
Well, then, are you really washing it at that point? I mean, this really goes to the question of, like, is water wet sort of thing?
The question is whether they're using soap.
As you can see, I have many questions.
Yeah, I imagine they're probably using some sort of, like, organic soap, some basic, like, lye formula that's not really, like, crazy in any way.
Let's hope so.
There is, they're talking about the glass jugs, and now they're going to talk a little bit more about like what's great about their water. Since our water is alive and abundant with healthy microflora, it is imperative that we keep it from reaching sweltering conditions.
What is microflora?
Microflora would be like microorganisms, like flora, like fauna and flora, sort of like life, tiny life that's inside of you. You could think of it like a little bacteria or a little...
But I don't want to consume bacteria theoretically, and,
well,
right?
So there is a such thing as a positive bacteria. We take
that's
probiotics.
True. That's
and
true.
Yogurt has good bacteria in it. And we do have a lot of flora, and it can be referred to flora in our guts that helps break down food, that helps us digest things. There's a lot of bacteria in our guts that we need to live.
Okay. Okay.
And so that's kind of
this is being labeled as the good bacteria.
Right. This is being labeled.
Stuff.
It discussed probiotics earlier.
Yeah.
So it's imperative that we keep it from reaching sweltering conditions. So they got to keep it cold. Unlike sterile water, our water will turn green if exposed to excessive heat and sunlight.
Okay.
And you know it's kind of because they're just kind of picking up water from a stream and it's got a bunch of stuff in it. And so it'll start to grow shit in it if you leave it alone for too long, just like your food might spoil. To guarantee unparalleled freshness, we keep our water chilled in storage facilities and vehicles until final delivery. We recommend storing live water away from direct sunlight and in a cool location. Our water is delivered within 2 weeks of collection and will stay absolutely fresh for one complete lunar cycle after delivery.
So 30 days.
Yeah, why not just say 30 days? I don't know.
A month.
But one lunar cycle.
So the water is clean and safe. The expiration date is 30 days.
Right. Now they just mentioned like keep it out of direct sunlight, and then it's immediately followed by this picture of a jug of their water sitting
in direct sunlight.
In the sun, like
direct sunlight. It's also not green.
It's a very nice picture of their water.
It's not green
in front of their ocean. It's not. Assumingly, this water has not had time to turn green.
Assumingly, they probably just took the photo and then. Threw the water back in the
or
port.
Drank it, yeah. Or yeah. Or that's just some ocean water because that picture is right
water.
In front of the ocean.
Yeah, it looks like ocean water.
Yeah, you can't really tell.
It's very clear, though.
It is. In its natural cycle, water is infinitely chemically and energetically complex. Infinitely. Water goes down into the soil and becomes the perfect probiotic as it passes through microbes and microorganisms in the humus. I guess there's a bunch of hummus in the soil, like eat with chips. It picks up bioavailable monoatomic elements and minerals that just can't be replicated. We have done our best to keep it pristine. And then they tell you to read on and see what makes their water different from other waters.
There's a lot of text here on this website.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of information about their water. Because... A part of what they're trying to sell their product and why you should drink untreated, unfiltered water.
You see, it's a little interesting because, you know, you have, like, it's very difficult to explain to someone what water is. I mean, you can always, you know, say it scientifically, but, like, you know, how do you define what water is not scientifically? Like, just...
Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of, like, spirituality in this.
And, yeah, it definitely feels like they're trying to sell you more of an experience than actual water.
Yes. And so a couple more things. They say their water can give better oxygenation of cells, more hydration of cells and tissues, optimal transportation of minerals and nutrients throughout the body.
Optimal.
Super effective detoxification and elimination of waste.
Actually say super
it says
effective.
Super effective. immune system activation and support, and it can reverse the aging process.
That's a big claim. All those were pretty big claims, but I think we found one of the biggest. How old is this man? How old is
he? Looks pretty young, but I don't know exactly.
We don't know his age.
Ancient.
He could be quite old.
Live Water's only been around for a couple years, though, the company. So
He could have been doing it for years.
What's interesting is they source their water from a spring in Oregon, but they only, right now, they have really limited areas where they'll deliver their water to, and it's really just sort
of deliver it to?
The San Francisco and Los Angeles areas.
So they won't deliver it to us?
No, they won't. We could buy some of their jugs if we wanted to. They have special, like, nice-looking glass jugs that they'll bring your water in. They have some like... spherical jugs.
So instead of like the milkman, we have the waterman.
We have the waterman, exactly. They'll just bring jugs of water to your house. But you literally can sign up for a delivery like program of we'll give you X amount of jugs per week. And they have sort of like a sliding scale of like the more you order a week, the better a deal it is. So
do we have a price on this deal here?
Yes.
Because
so,
I need to know how much they are selling this.
If you get four jugs, it's $16 per jug. And so a jug is 2.5 gallons. So that's 10 gallons for $16. And then 20, no, that's 10 gallons for
$16
times four.
Yeah.
And then 20 jugs is...
Why would you need 20 jugs?
Well, if you want a bunch of water.
It's a weekly basis. Why would you
need... Well, you can get it every 1 week, or you can get it... It looks like I was wrong. You can choose how often it gets sent to you.
That makes a little bit more sense. I mean, you know, 10 jugs for a week, you know, theoretically people should be drinking more water than they do.
Right. Anyway,
I mean,
so like,
I'm over here drinking a smoothie and not water.
Right. I drink a decent amount of water, but I'm also drinking like a energy drink right now. Anyway, you can get 20 jugs for $12 per jug. So 12 times 20 times 2.4 gallons. So it's not really cheap for getting water, but you're getting theoretically a higher quality water. So
it's $240 a week for water.
Well, yeah, if you got 20 a week, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be getting a lot of water.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you have like, you know, like 8 children.
And you wanted them all.
All to drink.
Yeah.
This.
So they do, when they deliver, they do like rewash and reuse their jugs. So they pretty like efficient system.
That's good.
In terms of that. And they do, they buy like carbon offsets for their delivery trucks. So they're trying to stay like a green company.
I mean, they should stay a green company. That's
right,
like
claiming what they're doing. Right.
I mean, not only, you know, are they selling water and, you know, it's theoretically not like a big carbon footprint or whatever, mm-hmm. but also, you know, their water does turn green.
If you
leave it out for too long.
Their water does turn green. So you don't want to get too much of it at once.
Yeah.
Just like milk.
Yeah.
Don't want to buy 20 gallons.
Don't want to buy 20 gallons of milk.
I was at a gas station once, and there was a deal. So this gas station sold milk, which first of all is like, okay. But their deal that they had an ad for was buy 10 gallons of milk, get the 11th one free.
Can I do this over, like, you know, like a couple months?
You buy 10 gallons for the price of 11. I don't know if it was like a punch card situation or if you had to buy them all at once, but I hope you didn't have to buy 11 gallons at once.
I can't drink 11 gallons of milk. What, how long does milk expire? 2 weeks?
Yeah.
2-3 weeks?
So now we're going to talk about, this is still from their website. So their water is great and all, but what's the problem with other water?
Yeah. I mean,
right.
You know, I've had like Aquafina, I've had like Crystal Geyser, mm-hmm.
Fiji water,
Fiji
tap water,
I'm a big fan of tap water.
It's pretty cheap.
Cause it's, the cheapest.
Out of the faucet.
It just,
yep.
It's right there.
So they're talking about other water here. For cheaper transport and shelf stability, all other bottled, filtered, tap, and even spring waters are sterilized with ozone gas, irradiated with UV light, and passed through a sub-micron filter. Now, I believe that is all true. That is just the, like, vaguely the water filtration process that we use today.
Yeah, I assume that that's what that means.
Yeah, because you want to take the water and you want to kill all the bacteria
filtered,
that's in it.
Yeah.
And you
want
to get,
you don't
get all
want
the
that.
Shit out of it.
Yeah. I was concerned when they said that they had bacteria in their water.
Yes.
Earlier.
It's similar to juice that's pasteurized, so it can sit on shelves for a month. Fresh squeezed juice is clearly better, but what about fresh squeezed spring water?
I don't think they squeeze it. I really don't think they squeeze it. What do they squeeze? Like, how do you squeeze
you just
water?
Squeeze the earth.
How do you
just
squeeze water?
The water out of the earth, and it's better. So our water is kept cold and transported within days of collection. Similar to the use of antibiotics, water sterilization disrupts healthy bacterias. Developing and sustaining a healthy gut biome is a key factor in unlocking optimal health. We have an average of 5 pounds of good or bad bacteria in our gut flora. Fermented foods are great sources for healthy bacteria, but drinking beneficial microbes in water might be our body's most critical source of healthy bacteria. The key word there, might. And then they have a little graphic here telling you why bacteria is important for your gut, which is true. It is. Blasting water with ozone changes its molecular structure. Ultraviolet germicidal irradiation uses synthetic ultraviolet light, different from our natural environment UV, to kill or inactivate microorganisms by destroying nucleic acid and disrupting their DNA. And then that is, I think, all true. They're just making it sound really evil.
It's a lot of science words.
It's a lot of science words. Basically, they're saying they put some UV light and it kills the bacteria that are in the water.
Yeah.
Right. A hard fact to swallow, but your drinking water might be considered a genetically modified organism. GMO seeds and GMO water don't have the capacity to reproduce life.
I thought that they would be above puns, but I guess not. It's a hard fact to swallow right there.
So they go on to say, perhaps this method in water processing could influence humans' capacities also. And they're kind of insinuating that drinking sterilized water could make you sterile. There.
You know, I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
I feel like most of the people who have reproduced on this earth have had sterile water. They've drinking sterile water
and done it just fine.
And
yeah.
Then it just, yeah. You know, cause this company just showed up when 2015?
Yeah, like 2 or 3 years ago.
So, it's remarkable how we got here.
Right.
Wonder what they were drinking.
So many cities are now using reclaimed water from sewage treatment plants for their tap water. Pharmaceuticals in tap water are showing up more and more in cities. They go on to, they talk about, there's birth control drugs, in the water. The idea is that people who take birth control, so, you know,
fair amount of women. Yeah.
Like it's in their pee. And so they pee it out.
And so they pee it out
down the toilet.
It's still
those
there.
Chemicals are there. And then that water gets recycled.
And what they're saying is that the cities, they don't refilter it.
They're saying that
even though they do refilter
like it's still,
it,
there's still some there.
Still there.
And this is a sort of true statement in that the official stance is that this is true, but the levels of and it happens with other drugs, of course, the levels of like leftover pharmaceuticals and
it's
like birth control
is
very, very insignificant.
It's
like
so
such
small.
A small amount in the water.
I mean like the whole thing with like vaccines is that you know, you take a vaccine and you're putting part of the actual bacteria, the virus, into your body, mm-hmm. and then your body learns how to fight those.
Right.
Thing is that that's very small. It's even way more insignificant. Like it's such a smaller number with this, I'm sure.
Yeah. So now they go on to make another point coming up. Unfortunately, almost all tap water in the U.S. also has the neurotoxin fluoride put into it.
I see now, where we're going.
We don't have you heard anything about fluoride
in
water,
Brendan? I have heard some things about fluoride in the water. And I've heard from a video online.
Yep.
And I've heard that having fluoride in the water might turn specific amphibians into homosexuals. Turn the freaking frogs
it
gay!
It might turn the freaking frogs gay. The owner of Livewater does not make that specific claim.
we're going there.
But he has said, and I quote, "Tap water? You're drinking toilet water with birth control drugs in them. Chloramine, and on top of that, they're putting in fluoride. Call me a conspiracy theorist, but it's a mind control drug that has no benefit to our dental health."
Okay, so so he didn't go to the "we're gonna turn the frogs gay."
No,
but he went somewhere.
He went somewhere with it.
He went hard conspiracy theorist.
Yes, he was like, "Call me a conspiracy theorist," and he says that, and you're like, okay, he's gonna say something a little weird, and
but then
he
just
goes
just like
full
on
pedal to the metal.
I got that he was going to say, you know, "Call me a conspiracy theorist, but yeah, this stuff probably still exists in the tap water."
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yeah, okay. That's sounds like a pretty fair claim, I guess. But no, mind control.
Yep. And we will get a little more into that in a moment. So also goes on to say, it talks about chloramine and some other chemicals, chlorine and ammonia they add to the water. There is some amount of chlorine that's added to... water as a sterilization agent, just to like kill E. coli and Giardia and shit like that yep. will fuck you up if you consume it. Again, in what's considered safe quantities, by the like enormous associations that check to make sure the water we're drinking is safe, because that is a, huge portion of our society is making sure the water we drink is safe.
Yeah.
Tap water is mind control. What about bottled water? So the problem with bottled water is it's typically devoid of all minerals and actually strips your body's minerals, because it's so empty of them.
It's got none.
You can attempt to remineralize filtered water, but those minerals will never be bioavailable like in fresh living spring water. They go on to say that if you attempt to drink water that's too highly alkaline, you could dilute your stomach's digestive acids. I'm not sure if that's true. It could be, but I don't know if you have to worry about that drinking water. They go on to say, "We've chosen to use glass for our water because all plastic water bottles are toxic."
All of them.
Most quote-unquote spring water companies actually pump their water from stagnant near-surface aquifers, aka wells. So they're making a distinction here even between well water and spring water. That
is different.
Aquifers are dead somehow. stagnant, not good.
But hold on. Where are they getting their water from?
So, well, they're getting their water from that spring.
Yeah. And where does the spring get the water?
You know, it probably gets it from something kind of like an aquifer. And so this is a little bit of a thin line they're treading here, trying to push out the other water bottle companies. They're saying our mature water. They have mature water, Brendan.
Yeah, it's aged.
It's mature.
Once again, like wine.
It's in constant offering. Again, they've used the word offering here. And gushes out ice cold at 54 degrees after completing its natural cycle. They keep it that temperature till it's delivered to your door.
54 degrees, always.
Mm-hmm. Water is the essence of all life on this planet, but it's also the universal solvent. Is your water breaking you down or building you up? And so this sort of general idea they're trying to get across here is that we think of water as we want to drink water. Like, I want to drink water with nothing in it, right? I want to drink pure, sterile, clean water. And what they're arguing is that's actually unhealthy, that you need to drink water that has some good bacteria
in it,
that has healthy minerals in it naturally from the earth.
And, you know, theoretically, you know, that's not, that doesn't sound bad.
Right. It seems
like it sounds fine.
It sounds fine is a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
You
know, there's a lot of things that look good on paper, but eventually don't pan out. And I'm sure we're going to get there pretty soon.
Yeah. So they, I mentioned earlier that they don't have a very big, like, delivery.
Yeah, it's very specific.
Yeah.
Specifically San Francisco and LA.
Yeah.
Nowhere in between.
It's even, not even between those two areas.
Yeah.
and which is weird because they come from Oregon. The water comes from Oregon.
I mean, to be fair, the type of people who would order this type of water
live in those places. You're correct. and this business is doing fairly well.
Also, I'm sure.
You know, people are buying into this.
Organics. You know, I didn't realize you could have organic water, but theoretically, this is organic water.
Yeah, you could put it that way. Now, what about the people who live outside the range of live water's reach? Well, they still...
Like us.
They do encourage you, basically they encourage you to find a local spring, and they have some, information on like what type of springs you could look for.
And it's telling us to go out and bottle our own water.
Right. It's going out and find a spring and drink that water that's there because it's better for you. And there's even a website, findaspring.com. Great.
Okay.
Good website title. It's been around for a little while. And it just is a website that has a list of you. It's a map. You can click on your state. You see what springs are available in your state, and where you can find them. And then you can even upload, if you find a spring, you can upload it.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. And so they want you to find a spring that kind of, doesn't have any like runoff in it. So you want to go and see above the spring, like what's above the spring. Is there some agriculture or fertilizer going on up there? Are there a bunch of animals pooping in it? Cause you don't want animals pooping in your water. They admit that.
We should go and find one of the springs, Curtis.
What's interesting is I actually looked on the New Mexico map. Very comprehensive. They only have 5 springs listed in New Mexico, which there are certainly way
more than 5.
One of them was the Jemez Hot Springs, which you and I have been to.
Jemez.
It's spelled Jemez for those of you who don't get that joke. But it's pronounced Jemez technically. We said Jemez because we're white boys. That was there. So
we should record us going on a field trip to the spring and trying some of the water.
It would actually be nice because that was a very lovely area.
That was a lovely area.
I would
area.
Really like to go back there, actually.
Yeah.
Funny stories when Brendan and I went to this place. So it's just like a natural hot springs you can get into. It's pretty cool. It's just like a pool, and you just get in the water and it's warm.
Yeah.
And then there's a little cave where the water's coming from. And then like, we're pretty sure we saw 2 people go off and have sex in the cave.
That happened.
Yeah. Cause like, there was this couple and they were sort of like being, you know, lovey-dovey, handsy all over each other. And then like they just went off into the cave for like, you know, like half an hour, like a while.
Yeah. That's why a lot of people think that there's birth control in the springs.
Maybe they were trying to take advantage of that. Sure. Well, they would argue that there's not birth control in the springs.
Birth control in the
normal water. So maybe they were trying to conceive.
Okay, so maybe there is birth control. Right.
I would still make sure no one's having sex in the spring that you're getting your water from.
Yeah.
Because that's likely unhealthy. For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
General fluids that are involved there.
We might go on a field trip there and record our journey.
Yeah.
That might happen.
Anyway, so they only had like 5 springs in New Mexico, and they actually, like, I have found a springs in a mountain somewhere that like was not even on the list. So I could have uploaded that spring
if I wanted to.
So not a hugely comprehensive list.
Clearly.
I looked at a couple other states. Yeah, it's like definitely it's in the like low teens, and I'm like, there's definitely way more springs just around places because they're fairly common, they exist. But still it's kind of a resource, something that exists. If you just want to drink water straight out of the ground, you can go to this place. So this whole thing has become sort of like it's a developing movement, not dissimilar from like a fresh foods or organic foods movement. They even Live Water pulled the comparison to genetically modified organisms like food, GMO foods. I talked about like killing water or dead water.
Yeah. I want to know more about that.
Now, when I was first reading about, dead water versus live water sort of within this whole idea, they talked about that your water will turn green after a while, which like when I was a kid and I like caught some tadpoles in a jar in some just stream water and I put it in my windowsill for a while, like eventually it started growing some moss and stuff, so it started turning green, and like that makes sense because there's a bunch of stuff in that water to grow. And so I kind of thought, like, live water means, like, it's got a lot of bacteria and stuff in it. What they would argue is good bacteria.
So what you had was live water.
Right. What I had was live water.
Yep. Did your tadpole die?
All my tadpoles died. Okay. Yeah. I caught a bunch of them. They all died. Because it turns out, kind of the same reason why you have to oxygenate, like, a fish tank. I think they all, like, couldn't breathe and died.
They all just couldn't breathe and died. Oh, poor tadpoles.
Yeah.
All right, kids.
Okay. Tadpoles are one of those organisms that's kind of a shotgun method. You just make as many of them as possible, and you hope one of them takes. So frogs are
That's why frogs have a lot of eggs.
Why they have a lot of eggs. And, you know, it helps them because a lot of them are gay now, too. So
a lot of them are gay now, too.
But they are actually talking about something. They mean that when they say live water, but they mean something inherent to the water itself. There's an argument that quote unquote live water has a completely different molecular structure than processed water. For instance, living water, when frozen, will form beautiful hexagonal crystals, while dead water forms really ugly, stupid looking crystals. There's an argument made somewhere on the Live Water Facebook page that even just like long distance piping of water can kill it. Like even if you just take water out of its natural environment, before you even really treat it, you can kill it. And this argument is sort of that like water going through streams in its natural environment like helps it stay oxygenated and good and healthy. And that it's even just aside, like just the chemical structure of the water itself can change, and be quote unquote killed.
Okay.
Which is really, really counterintuitive to modern belief of what water is, which would just be a chemical structure that, you know, life uses water, but water is not alive.
Yeah. It's, it's very much not alive.
Right. Now there is, a man named Masaru Emoto, I believe a Japanese man.
Okay. So it's not another white guy.
No. Yeah. And so this guy, he's actually, he passed away in 2014. He was, in his, He lived to be 71. So, you know, whatever. But he did some work, some sort of scientific work, based on, again, based on the ice crystal structures of water. And what he did is he would photograph, he would microscopically photograph the ice crystals within water, to see, to try to like find some extrapolation from that. And the sort of things he did was he would photograph like quote unquote wild water and look at the ice crystals. And he would photograph like the ice crystals of tap water. And he would see like, oh, the tap water ice crystals are really ugly looking and the wild water ice crystals are really pretty, which, in itself isn't enough of a conclusion just to say that the crystals are ugly, that they're unhealthy for us.
It's also pretty subjective.
It is very subjective. Exactly. But he also did things like he took, he might take some tap water or some water from a fountain or some water that you might consider processed or corrupted. And he would do things like pray to the water and then photograph afterwards. And supposedly the crystal structure would reform to a nice, happy crystal structure. And so
he prayed to the water.
He prayed to the water.
To the water.
To the water.
Not like a water god, god.
Emoto believed the water was a blueprint for our reality and that emotional energies and vibrations could change the physical structures of water. His experiments consisted of exposing water in glasses to different words, pictures, or music, and then freezing and examining the aesthetic properties of the resulting crystals with microscopic photography. And he claimed that the water, when exposed to positive speech and thoughts, would usually result in visually pleasing crystals, and that the negative intentions would yield ugly frozen crystal formations.
I don't know what to believe.
He did publish some of his findings, but a lot of his published findings have been criticized by the scientific community for having insufficient experimental controls, for instance, basically not using the scientific method correctly, really. And there's a lot of ways you can like perform an experiment in a way that seems to look really legit, but when you break down exactly what's happening, you're actually maybe like influencing the people who are judging the water, or you're not having a proper control, or like, for instance, even the thing where he's saying beautiful versus ugly is an entirely subjective measure, and so is very difficult to extrapolate like a scientific finding from that.
I mean, on
its pure subjectivity.
Yeah, I mean the whole thing is that pugs are a really ugly dog, yet people love them and they think they're adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're so ugly, they're cute, sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so. Right, someone might find something beautiful that someone else might consider ugly.
It's all subjective.
Mm-hmm. A biochemist and director of microscopy at University of College Cork, I don't know where that is, but some guy who's a scientist said, it's very unlikely that there is any reality behind Emoto's claims. So not an accepted scientific figure, really. But this is somebody that... alternative medicine and alternative science people, and even, you know, the owner of Livewater, references the work of Masaru Emoto. And so they draw belief from the work he did.
Well, I mean, if you can, you know, like align yourself with any sort of science, regardless of, I mean, really any sort of science that is not very much like highly criticized, like even though his work was criticized, mm-hmm. I feel like if you can align yourself with any sort of science, you know, it makes you look more credible.
Yeah, and like, yeah, exactly, it does. And this is one of those like dangerous situations where it seems very sciencey, but is really not in practice.
It doesn't seem sciencey at all.
It's kind of one of the most dangerous types of pseudoscience. Dangerous in terms of misinformative.
Yeah.
If you're the sort of person that believes that's dangerous, like I kind of am. Also, like, kind of like, how is he finding? So he's taking like a glass of water and talking to it and being mean to a different glass of water, and then like looking at the crystals that form. Like, you can't look at every single crystal that forms in like an ice cube, for instance. So
it's
how
a lot of crystals,
right?
It's
so
a lot
how do you
time.
Really know? And he, it's very likely that in the water he spoke nice to, he knew which water he was speaking nice to, and so he was looking for those happy crystals in that water. Whereas in the water he spoke mean to, he was looking for the ugly crystals. And so that's another example of like how you can incorrectly do a study.
I mean, if you believe that saying specific words to water will influence the water, like it's just so ridiculous.
It is, and it
on many reasons. why would water know how to speak English?
Exactly, and the idea being that it's like feeling your emotional, spiritual vibrations. And like the idea that he's trying to prove is that water has some sort of spiritual energy to it other than just the non-living entity we think of it commonly today.
And by English, I meant Japanese or
Japanese,
just,
of course,
or just languages.
He was just speaking Japanese because he was Japanese.
Water. Why would water understand languages?
Exactly. And let's see, what do I have next? So that's kind of like an interesting thing. Not a real thing, I think.
I'm firmly in the camp of, so far I'm on team tap water.
And a big There's been a lot of talk about raw water recently, since this New York Times article came out. There's a really good comment on their like the Live Water Facebook page. I want to find it. And so a lot of people are talking about, well, like live water has bacteria in it, of course. And what's the reason a main reason we treat and filter water is to
get rid of it,
get rid of bacteria from water.
Yeah,
exactly. Because what can bacteria do to you, Brendan?
It can make you sick.
It can make you sick.
It can kill you.
It can kill you.
Give you cancer.
It can,
it can make the friggin' frogs gay.
It makes the friggin' frogs gay. So there's a great review on Live Water's Facebook page by Paul LaBelle. He says, heard about this new cleanse diet. You just drink 8 cups of live water a day and then you lose 20 to 25 pounds. I couldn't believe it was that simple, so I tried it. The next day I felt a little run down, but I figured it was just the impurities leaving my system. The next day I was feverish and doubled over with cramps. This stuff was really cleaning the impurities out. The third day I couldn't get out of the bathroom, or the fourth day. I don't remember much of the fifth day. I do remember some guys in blue and a feeling of floating. The sirens sang their song, wee-woo, wee-woo, as I floated away. I awoke to angels hovering over me in a room of white healing light. The eighth day I awoke in a hospital bed with IVs in me, and the doctor saying something about beaver fever and Giardia. But I lost 20 pounds in a week. I would definitely recommend this to you.
Paul, MVP. Paul, we will glad you have all right, we will gladly have you on the podcast anytime you want to be on.
Paul, and I assume Paul is a devout listener to our podcast,
of course.
Like most people are.
Yeah.
And so he's talking here about a key parasitic bacteria. I'm not exactly sure what Giardia is, but it's a bad thing that you can get, and it makes you have a bunch of diarrhea. And it's known that you can get Giardia from drinking spring water. It's like very... That's like specifically like if you've drank from a mountain stream, the first question the doctor asks you is do you have Giardia? Like, or like, we want to test you for Giardia.
Have you been having diarrhea?
Right. You know, also things like E. coli, I believe cholera. There were before we started treating water, there were still city systems that had water. You know, just like we have it today that goes through pipes and goes places, and they would have like outbreaks of disease, and you could track those disease outbreaks to where, to like specific water sources in a city.
Yeah.
So there'd be like a fountain where everyone went and got their water, and that fountain would just be like infected, with a disease, and everyone was getting sick because they were drinking from that fountain. Not really revolutionary to of an idea.
I've played Pandemic. I understand right. how it works.
And so this is why we started chlorinating the water and killing the things that are in it.
Killing the things
the
that are in it so people could drink the water and not
right.
get sick.
Exactly. And so it's interesting to think of, like, this is one of those new trends that's like, go back to nature. But of course, if you look like 100 years ago, we were trying to do exactly the opposite.
The opposite.
Because
yeah.
we were encountering a lot of problems with it. Not dissimilar to the anti-vaccination movements. You know, we rapidly wanted to develop vaccines because we were dying from all these things, and now everyone's like, oh, the vaccines are so dangerous. It's like, well, we made the vaccines because it was dangerous, so, you know,
it's weird that everything's working backwards.
It's interesting, and it's about this idea that natural is better, and it's this very seductive idea.
Yeah, natural is better. I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that going around nowadays. I mean, like, for mm-hmm. instance, you know, a lot of this, like, a lot of things, you know, they're just like, this is bad. And so then people want to do the opposite. And, but like, but we've been there. And it was
exactly.
it was worse.
And it was, and like, there's a reason we tried to do it this way. Yeah. So I want to talk about fluoride now because we've actually managed to not talk about water fluoridization yet on this episode, and I think now's a good time to do it.
I'm sure we were going to talk about it.
Yeah, we probably were at some point. I'm going to talk about it now. I don't give a shit. Because something about, like, when I was reading about raw water, I was really surprised to find that that was, like, a central argument for the use of it, was actually this conspiracy theory that, to me, seems really fringe. That, like, you really have to be sort of out there to believe that fluoride is a mind control drug meant to pacify the population. And that's sort of the idea here, is that ostensibly fluoride's in the water to make your teeth not have cavities, 'cause just like fluoride's in your toothpaste for that same reason. Now, what people like Alex Jones will tell you, and you can buy, like, non-fluoride toothpaste from his website, by the way, if you didn't know.
I did not know that, but that does not surprise me.
Yeah. they will tell you that basically how it works is that exposing yourself to a lot of fluoride will calcify your pineal gland. And that once your pineal gland is calcified, you're kind of fucked. More spiritual believers will say that your pineal gland is also like your third eye. So, you know, the concept of your third eye where it sort of sits on your forehead, and that's sort of like your spiritual connection to the world.
Yeah.
Is through your third eye. Fluoride will interrupt that, and then just also make you kind of dumb and just sort of want to go along with whatever the conspirators of the world want you to go along with, you know? And so it actually, what's interesting is that the conspiracy of water fluoridization actually began in like the 40s and 50s. And it was thought that, it was like a communist, conspiracy theory.
Ooh.
That, activists on the far right of American politics asserted that fluoridation of water was part of a far-reaching plot to impose a socialist or communist regime. The idea being that, like, we're just gonna mass medicate the population and not have the population, so, like, you don't have to do it yourself, you're just pre-medicated. So you don't have to go out and get fluoride, we're just gonna give it to you. And so they thought that was like a step towards communism.
I mean, things haven't changed, you know. Most of these conspiracy theorists are people on the right. You know, Alex Jones is very right-leaning.
He is, and yet also the raw water movement and sort of, like, natural movement is, like a very far left almost.
It's weird.
It is kind of like that. The two extremes of politics, both kind of get so far extreme that they want to be nonconformist with main culture. And so sometimes they cling to these sort of similar ideas, maybe for different reasons, but maybe not essentially, because like this, the owner of Livewater, like very liberal presenting person. I don't know any of his politics specifically, but everything about him seems
very liberal.
You know, he's talking like very spiritual, and very like, you might call it woo woo. That's a term I've heard, like, you know, people who believe in crystals and whatnot.
Yeah.
And there's even literally pictures of like crystals next to their water in some of their promotional material. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very sort of like hyper liberalistic idea, if we're going to put it on that spectrum. And yet does also conform to the hyper conservative, side of things. Which is really interesting. And they both believe that fluoride, like if you take small amounts of it over time, that it will just like,
it will fry your brain and turn you into mindless,
right?
A mindless human,
kind of, and just make you go along with everything.
Very conformist.
Yeah. And so there's a really good Snopes article about water fluoridation, obviously defending it, as you can sort of assume. Anything Snopes is going to
Snopes goes very much with the status quo of
right
things.
Pretty much, and honestly, like, I feel like Snopes is probably pretty right about stuff, like, if I'm going to be honest. I think there probably is some political non-objectivity to it. I think it probably leans more liberal than most things, but I think that I also kind of like, I'm really liberal, and I kind of think that facts lend themselves to liberalism, so like that's kind of why I'm a liberal, because I think if you just look at the world and listen to what it's fucking telling you, you'll end up being a liberal. That's sort of my mini rant for the day. It's basically just talking about, I won't go too much in depth to it, but you can look up the Snopes article, and it's talking about basically the studies that people point to when they say fluoride is mind control, and that fluoride's bad for you, because there are studies that say fluoride is poisonous, because fluoride is poisonous in large quantities, in larger quantities than we put in our water.
I mean,
and we put very small quantities in our water, which are considered safe. And these studies are saying that a whole bunch more fluoride would be unsafe, which is also what like the EPA and like the water systems also agree with. So they don't put that much fluoride in the water.
I mean, everyone knows that, like, you know, too much of something is bad for you.
Exactly.
I mean, there have literally been like years ago, there were like mass water drinking contests, and whoever wins, you know, they get like a Wii or something. And so as there was like, dude, I want to win the Wii. And then they drink a bunch of water and then die.
Right. Cause you can do that. And you can eat too many bananas and explode. Like, you can do too much of anything, even a good thing.
Yeah.
That's why it's too much. That's why we have the term.
That's why too much. Yes.
So there was also like, these studies, they link, there's a couple studies that, try to link like higher fluoride in water with rates of lower intelligence. And that those studies also confound the data a little bit, meaning they mix it up. And so like, as well as these people who are drinking shittier water, those people also go to shittier schools because they're like poorer. And so to say like, oh, they're stupid because they drink shittier water is not entirely true, because they're also just less educated. And so it's very, that becomes difficult to test. Most of these studies are done in, like China and in places that have a water supply that is just naturally high in fluoride, like just literally straight from the ground. Actually, just like what raw water proponents would want you to drink, that water is actually already has too much fluoride in it. That like mainstream people admit is a dangerous amount of fluoride to consume. So they actually have to take fluoride out of that water, to make it safe. So that's an interesting subversion.
That's, I mean, that's the reason why live water is not in China and they're in Oregon.
Exactly. there's an article about raw water. If you look up like articles about raw water, most of them will all say like, this is kind of dumb, don't do this, you'll get sick. Or you might not get sick, but you could get sick. A lot of the fear of this actually does also come from things like, we hear about Flint, Michigan had, you know, a horrible water supply for a long time.
Yep.
Their water was, they had a bunch of lead pipes and a bunch of other stuff going on that was making their water, system bad. And that was true. That was really happening. But like raw water, it's really hard to say raw water. Raw water proponents will try to extrapolate just from Flint, Michigan and try to say, well, all water systems are bad. When that's just not the case, it's more correct to, try to correct the places that have bad water systems, than to just say that all water systems are bad. That's kind of faulty logic there.
Yep.
And so this article is kind of saying like, hey, we should pay attention to our water supply. That is correct. But we shouldn't just say, fuck it and give up on it completely, because that's the wrong answer, you know?
Yeah.
It's like saying, man, that food was poisonous. I better stop eating all food and just eat raw meat.
Man, our president is really terrible. I'm just going to go live in the ground.
Well, I mean, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Actually, but
yeah,
that's a different topic.
Yeah, it's a different topic. I was trying to pull the parallels there. I guess it didn't work too well.
I do, coming to a close, there was sort of a funny video on the Live Water Facebook page. And so I sort of was watching the visuals of this video before I listened to the audio. And it starts out the visuals of a man has like, you know, like an 8-ounce bottle of water, a plastic bottle of water, mm-hmm. the ones that are like really flimsy.
Yeah.
And he just puts it up to his mouth and he just like crushes all of the water just into his mouth, just like instantly. And it's like kind of impressive that he just drank all that water that quickly. Then it immediately cuts to like a montage of like plastic bottles being made in a factory. And so I'm assuming there's someone talking over it at this point that's like, yeah, plastic's really bad. It's like contaminating the water. Look at how evil this is. And then at the end of the video is someone just like collecting water from a spring. And it's meant to be like, look at this alternative. Ironically, the spring, there has been a PVC pipe attached to the spring, that they are getting that water out of. So I'm not sure what their position on PVC is, but it seems
like it's okay.
I mean, I think it's okay, but
I think
it seems
they
to me
also
if,
think that it's
if
okay.
You were going to have a position that all plastic was evil, I don't know. Anyway, but I assumed like the audio of this video would be like someone talking over and maybe some like mystical music. Instead, do you remember the "Ain't Nobody Got Time for That" lady?
I do.
Yes. So the woman whose house caught on fire, and then she was being interviewed by the news, and she said like, I got bronchitis and there was smoke everywhere. Ain't nobody got time for that. And then she ran out. And it became a meme for a while, you know, a couple of years back. So there was an auto-tuned song featuring the words of that woman, basically going a little bit like, ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Just like over and over again. Kind of a catchy tune, but that was a strange thing to be playing over that video.
I really hope that it was still going as they were like at the spring as well.
Oh yeah, it went the whole time.
Oh my god, ain't nobody got time for water. That's the message here. Water, drink soda.
And then sort of the cherry on top is all the comments on this video. So the creator Mukunde Singh. I'm probably saying his name wrong, but Mukunde Singh, everyone was wishing him a happy birthday, and nowhere in the video or in the caption of the video was any mention of his birthday. So I guess independently, everyone just knew it was his birthday.
I bet you one person said happy birthday and then everyone was like, oh damn, it's his birthday. And everyone hopped on the bandwagon.
So, yeah. That's that's kind of where I'm going to come to an end here.
I think we can come to a conclusion here, saying probably, you know, having fluoride in the water is a good thing.
Yeah, or it's at least not a bad thing.
You know, poor Paul.
Having too much fluoride in the water would be a bad thing.
Yes.
Having a moderate amount is having a literally having a safe amount is safe.
Yeah. You know, poor Paul, you know, trying to take that diet.
Yep.
He did lose 20 pounds though. So.
Yep. He did lose his 20 pounds. basically, you know, just like we get vaccinated so we don't get bad diseases.
We purify water, so that way we don't get bad diseases.
And there's a lot of pseudoscience in here.
Why take the chance?
It's claiming that you can get a lot of good bacteria that you can't get anywhere else. Which is just like, if there's going to be bacteria living in water, it could live in something else. Like it could live in some smoothie or something, and like, or some yogurt, like,
or like, yeah,
you can go buy probiotics and consume them, and like, you don't have to take special water from the ground.
And it's probably safer for you.
Yeah, it is, because it doesn't have bad biotics in it.
Yeah. It's got the probiotics.
Yeah.
Conbiotics. Pros versus cons.
So, you know, if you want to drink water from a stream, like, hey, go for it. You might get sick. If you want to spend a bunch of money on water, go for it. You might get sick. It's probably best to not do that. I think water is generally safe. Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good closing statement there. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks again, guys, for listening. Once again, guys, take that survey. It's really going to help us with what we're going to be doing this year.
Yeah,
with
the podcast. Where's that survey?
tiny.cc/MWR survey. And you can also find links to it on our Facebook and our Twitter at MWRcast.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those.
You want to do a little special thing at the end of the podcast, too.
I think we're going to skip it for this week.
We are? Okay, never mind. Forget I said anything.
Yeah, it's a little...
Yeah, I honestly didn't think I would spend this much time talking about fucking water, but I did it.
We did it. Water. If you guys like the music on this podcast, you can check out Master Christian Tedino. He's quite the master. I've been informed that he likes being called master. So
who doesn't?
Yeah.
And check out the Ain't Nobody Got Time for That Lady.
Yep. It's a big supporter of the show.
Yep.
You can find us on our website, moldersright.wordpress.com, where we're gonna have a link to that video.
Yep, exactly.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody. All right.
Thanks, guys, for listening. Next week, we're gonna be doing a super cool collaboration with the podcast, so stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks, guys. Wake up, sheeple. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.